With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back here, first things first, live from Miami Beach. It is a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Miami. We have a great lineup coming up for you later today. Carson Palmer, Cam Jordan, Michael Vick, Jarvis Landry is stopping by, but look who's joining us right now.
What up, man? Good to see you.
After a full season of entertainment, both on and off the field, Jags quarterback Gardner Minshew is with us. Gardner, thanks so much for hanging out with us. I'm just going to take over for a second. I've been a huge fan. I just wrote down a quick list of all the things that you and I have in common. We both wear headbands. I do sometimes. You're wearing shorts right now. The audience can't see, but my God, you showed up as perfectly as I wish I could. We have the same hair length, which people don't realize. You rode in a fighter jet. I was with the Blue Angels. Yeah.
You were in the Thunderbirds. By the way, can we start there?
Yeah.
She says that's hard. You just sit there.
No.
I almost vomited on myself.
I passed out.
16 times.
You passed out?
I passed out. I call myself a pro athlete, and I passed out. That was too much for me.
Thank you. Thank you, Gardner.
The G-forces, man. It's like
big win
nine
for me,
times your body weight on you. It's not.
Would you do it again?
It's not a joke. G's.
No, I did it once.
But would you do it again?
No, that's what I'm saying. I've gotten my fill. You know, it took a toll.
By the way, I feel like we have a few people that came here just for you. We've got a couple Washington State
Cougars.
It looks like. And right here, can we get my man right here? Can you grade it? Can you stand up? Do you mind? I'm sorry to put you on national television. You didn't ask me. Can you grade his mustache?
Oh, man, you got to take this down a little bit. But other than that, yeah, you're off to a good start for sure.
You like it?
He's off to a great start. No doubt.
The point is, you just had so much fun this season. You had so much fun on the field, but you had so much fun off. And I think that's what
you're
really
appreciated. The point is about the mustache. I want to know more about the mustache.
Wait a second. Could you grade Nick's mustache?
No.
Well, it's hiding, like just like mine. It's hiding right now. It's not a mustache unless it's standalone.
Oh, that's a good
hold
point.
Hold on, you guys, come on. We know what we need to talk about right now. He had a great year. You won Johnny Unitas Award. Everyone should have known you could have had a great year. We can do that later. So, about the important things. 3 years ago, you shaved your mustache, and you're like, "I'm going to be a super famous guy one day, so I'm going to put it in a Ziploc bag and hold on to it." So, like, what made you keep your shaved mustache 3 years ago, Gardner?
Yeah,
answer the question.
That one is probably a little more personal to me. I think it's because I loved it so much, and I didn't want to see it go.
Why'd you shave it then?
It needed to go at that point. It wasn't ready. You know, so I needed to shave it. I shaved into a bag, and saved it.
You're not going to get the $1 million. Okay. I'm not saying you're not, but let's just assume you're not. What's the least amount of money you would accept for that? What's the buy it now price?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting these seven-figure offers coming in right now. So
as expected.
I'm not talking about, you know, anything less.
Okay.
So right. I know what I have.
Okay. How's the RV tour going?
Oh, it was awesome, man. So it's done now. Went all the way out, saw
the
West Coast, came all the way back. Yeah. No, it was went all the way out and back in about 2 weeks, so it was
quick.
What's
the hardest thing about living life in an RV that maybe was unexpected for you?
So we made a rule. It was me and a few of my buddies. We made a rule. The first person to use the bathroom would have to, empty it out. So we just ended up not using the bathroom the whole time. So that was pretty inconvenient.
Just kind of pull it over.
We showered at a few Planet Fitnesses. That was good.
Ate at a couple of gas stations in Kansas City, I'm sure, Nick.
Yeah, dude, definitely at the
gas. What was your favorite stop?
Either Vegas or Telluride, Colorado.
Very different
for
places.
Very different reasons, but both were really good time. Met a lot of good people.
What's it like being newly famous Gardner Minshew when you stop by in Vegas?
Oh, I got a beard now. Like nobody knows who I am. You know, if they see the stash, it's like, oh, who's that other guy with the stash? Oh, that's him. But you know, I don't have a stash now, so now I'm just like your average, like extremely handsome guy just walking around.
See, I've been trying to tell Nick that all season long. He said, tell him if you ever see him in person.
Jenna is like, legitimately, you'll talk to a lot of people the Super Bowl week, and they'll tell you, like I did, how impressed they were with you, they root for you, and it's all true to a degree. Usually, it's kind of just buttering people up. You were Jenna's favorite player in the league this year. You had a bit of like a cult following. When did you feel that coming?
I don't know. Like, if y'all have been in Pullman, Washington last year, like you'd have seen, it was kind of the same thing, just on a like smaller scale. So I guess I got ready for it in a town of about 30,000. And then, you know, came to the NFL, and obviously kind of everybody knows the NFL.
Were there things that you tried that worked and things that you tried that didn't? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the jorts, the short jean shorts. I saw you broke those out for a little while, then they went away. That would probably be my only knock on the aura of Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, like, I mean, it gets cold. I mean, you can't wear jorts when it's cold.
Can't wear jorts when it's cold.
Can't put the legs out when it's like that. I get a little ashy when it's cold, too, so... You know, I think it's more of a summertime thing.
Coach, follow up after the jean shorts for me.
Well, I know with my experience with jorts, it's a little bit, it does get a little bit
chilly.
Inconvenient and chilly at times. So I kind of move away from like early fall.
But so you get it.
I do. And being another extremely handsome person walking around.
He gets it.
That people don't know. Like, I appreciate the struggle that you're going through.
That's right.
Now.
Who's your funniest teammate?
Funniest teammate. Josh Allen's probably the funniest looking. I don't know. Marcell Dareus is pretty hilarious. So it's a funny guy.
What was this year like? On a semi-serious note, you can say whatever you want, but what was it like? You're backing up Nick Foles, first game of the year. He's on a beautiful pass, by the way.
Yeah.
Touchdown pass against the Chiefs. Breaks his collarbone. You're thrown into the fire. By week three, you're leading a comeback that falls, I think, 1 point short, 2 point conversion. Like, you are instantly in it. What was the whole year like for you?
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, coming in, like, I didn't even get a place there until after preseason because I didn't know if, like, I was making the team, if they were doing, you know, whatever. So, you know, getting in, and then the first game, Nick goes down, and I'm crushed. I'm like, dude, Nick, that's my guy. Then I'm like, oh, wait, that means I'm going.
You're like, wait a minute, now I'm the guy.
That's the guy. So it was crazy. Had a lot of great people around me to help me. You know, guys on the offense, coaches, to get me ready for that.
There's always this idea of, well, if I ever get the chance, I'm going to do the following four things. Or if I was in there, I'd be able to do it this way. When it was finally you and there wasn't a big buildup because it was so unexpected, what was it like? What was the quick learning curve? And what did you look back on and say, oh, God, that was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be?
Yeah, I mean, the first few games, I was just going in there. I knew I had to say the play super clearly in the huddle, because if not, Linder was going to rip me. So I had to be super clear for him. And then after that, I was like, okay, we're good now. I have to just call him the play. That was the biggest part.
Linder, what do you mean Linder? Would
oh, Brandon Linder, my center.
Okay, Linder.
He's, he was kind of mean to me, man. But I needed that tough love to get me.
What was he doing?
Little quarterback hazing?
What was he doing?
Yeah, no, just anytime, like, he just gives you this stare, you know, and just right into your soul. You know, it tells you better get your crap right. Basically this season was trying to not let those guys down, you know. You got these older guys that are putting so much into it. I'm not going to be the one to mess that up.
Who was the best rookie quarterback in the 2019 season?
I don't know, man.
Maybe if I ask it, he'll answer differently. Who was the best rookie quarterback in 2019 season?
No, that's what, like, I made that mistake of, like, trying to compare. And that's not what I want to be. I want to be the best quarterback I can be for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, Kyler Murray didn't play for the Jaguars. Daniel Jones didn't play for the Jaguars. I play for the Jaguars, and that's all, you know, I can really concern
myself. What do you think of that,
coach? Made
Coach
so happy.
I think that's a great answer. I think that's the answer that's going to be that's going to serve you well.
I wish I'd have been more
that
humble in that situation.
That was a world of hurt, wasn't it, when you started comparing yourself like that?
Yeah, and that's what I was. That just let my ego talk, and you know, like, taking a step back from that, I was able to say, you know, I'm wrong, and I need to fix on myself.
Follow up though. Who's the best looking rookie quarterback this past year?
I think rookie or otherwise, it has to be the guy in Jacksonville. Okay. I think it's consensus, right?
I mean, I think you
have heard
it from Jenna. Who's the best looking quarterback?
Probably the guy from Jacksonville.
Yeah,
really? Your old friend Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be a little angry at you right now.
Hey, Jimmy Garoppolo's not sitting next to me right now.
See,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Woman of the moment. But you had a fun season?
Yeah, it was a blast.
You
couldn't
enjoyed
have asked
it?
For anything better.
Of
yeah.
course. It was probably so unexpected and probably just everything you wanted, but it came a lot sooner.
Absolutely.
So after the RV trip and all the different things in the offseason, how is this preparation going into next year going to be different for you?
Yeah, so I got a whole nother offense I need to learn. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to working with Coach Gruden. That's going to be a great experience. But I'm about to be down starting Monday and down in Naples. I won't leave there. I'll be training for 2.5 months, getting ready, busting my tail to get ready to go.
Can I just real quick before we move on? I think it was unexpected, and Jenna mentioned it for a lot of us. But once you came onto the scene, my mistake for not watching enough Pac-12 football, I guess. I was like, man, you were unbelievable at Washington State. You had transferred. Your story is a little different. Was it as unexpected for you as it maybe was for the rest of us that you were able to do it at the level you were at immediately?
I don't know. All I ever said was just I need a chance. You know, I didn't ask to be a first-round pick. I didn't ask to be thrown into a starting role. I just asked for a chance. And I knew, you know, first thing I had to do, I had to get on the team. And if I was on the team, I'd get a chance. And, you know, it came sooner than I expected. You know, sooner than any of us would have wanted. But I'm sure grateful for it, and I wanted to do the best with it.
Well, the Jaguars gave you a chance, and shortly thereafter, Snickers gave you a chance, chance. You're here with Snickers. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing here.
Yeah, so I got voted the Snickers Hungriest Player of the Year. Shout out to everybody that voted. That was really cool, y'all. And I actually got
something
this.
Comes with that.
Yeah, I got this chain right here.
Yeah. That is, by the way,
a legit Snickers chain.
When this voting was going on, we saw this. This is, yeah. No, put it on, man.
Put it
it's
on,
like,
yeah.
It's like a 4-pound chain.
She did that. My head's
too
big.
Your hair is too luxurious.
Yeah.
Never mind, sorry.
Feathered and lethal. Yeah, so this chain, they're going to auction off next year. The proceeds will go to Movember. Cause, which I was pretty closely tied to, just focusing on men's health, mental health. Cancer awareness, really good cause.
Can the person who wins the bidding on the chain get the mustache too? You throw it in?
Dude, if they could afford it, yeah. I mean, but that's a whole nother thing, you know.
Great job, man.
Gardner Minshew, you're so fun. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week down here.
Appreciate that.
Have a great time. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has now teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, so you have less stress, so you perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. That's calm.com/sports40. We are back here, First Things First, live from beautiful Miami Beach. Miami is site of Super Bowl 54 this week. Another absolutely glorious morning here, just, man, a few yards from the beach. And we got a very special guest with us at the desk. Saints All-Pro DN Cam Jordan is with us. Good morning, Cam.
This is one of the nicest guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't say that. Don't say that.
Listen, you're a mean dude during the game, but you are, I've had you on the radio show a few times, you've had you on a television show, one of the smartest, most generous with his time, nicest people in the league this time of year.
I don't know where you're at during my offseason. Could you come do this for me?
Oh, you just walk around and introduce you like that?
Well, I was going to say, I've never, in all those the post-football games that we've covered and watched, I've never seen anyone that actually enjoys answering questions, being real with the reporters. You love it. You sit at your locker and you like legitimately seem to enjoy, whether you do or not, you enjoy the questions, you enjoy the time after the game.
It's a part of our life. At this point, you can't be a part of the NFL for 9 years. You can't be a part of college. You can't be a part of high school sports without having to feel these questions. You can't be afraid to be who you are.
You know, at the end of the day, I am me. I am the product of my father, and, you know, I am the product of what my family has built. So I sit here proud of where I came from.
Well, you mentioned the, go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
I know. I was just going to jump right in. This is going, you're going into year 10.
Woo!
Woo! I mean, you've had
Can I get a hot tub?
You've had a phenomenal run up to this point. Talk about just this season, last season, the last three seasons for you guys, and this window of opportunity that everyone feels like sometimes is so broad, but it, we know it as players, it just closes every single time, every year that we lose on that football field. Talk about that.
It probably hurts more and more. It's like being broken up with your girlfriend. You know, like your first girlfriend you had, you're like, you're devastated. And then, you know, the second girlfriend you had, you're hurt. And the third one, you're just like, that's not the right one. That's not it. You know, that's sort of what this last 3 years can really feels like. It's like that first one, I was so hurt. I didn't even like think about looking at football. You know, it was just like, yo, I have to, you know, I hit this Pro Bowl, but I don't even want to talk about the game. Please don't bring up the game. It's still, I'm still bleeding from it. The second one was like, last year we were like, how do you lose the way we did? How does this happen? And you're sort of looking around, but it's like, yo, we have the formula to bounce back. We know exactly what we have to do to be, you know, one step closer. And then you talk about what happened this past year. And it's like, you're just sitting there, you're like, no, that makes sense. We know we're not gonna get the calls that go our way. But at the same time, we also know that we can never let it get that close. So you're just sitting there like, you see the formula and you're like, we know exactly what we have to do. We can never make it a close game. You leave it a close game, then becomes, you know, they've said it last year, you know, they're trying not to say it this year. You can leave it at human error or whatever it is. We didn't do enough to come away with the win this past, you know, this past off or postseason.
Cam, that's the last 3 years for the team. And you're a consummate pro. You're the son of a pro. Like you, and as Jenna mentioned, you're great at diplomatic but also honest answers. But for you individually,
the Jordan men do have 11 Pro Bowls. Continue.
Yeah, 11 Pro Bowls. You in the since 2013, guys with 10 plus sacks or and 20 plus quarterback hits in a season. Only two guys have done it at least five seasons. Von Miller and Cam Jordan. Aaron Donald hadn't done it. J.J. Watt hadn't done it. You have over 30 sacks in the last 3 years. You had almost 16 this year, and I don't think you regularly in the media get brought up as one of the league's dominant pass rushers. Now, you all pro, I think smart people know it. Do you feel like you're underrated and do you care?
I feel like I'm the best all-around, you know, defensive end in the game. I'm not sure where this term edge rusher came from, but it includes a lot of skinny guys. Good for us. But when you talk about every down, you know, first, second, third, and if it has to be fourth, I'm prepared to go to war every time. So I sort of emulate my game off of, you know, the legends. You talk about Chris Dolman, you talk about John Randall, guys I grew up watching. So I've always looked beyond just what's on the table now. There's not too many defensive ends that's coming off the edge at 285 anymore.
Well, so you said something really important there, which is edge rusher, which is now, it's an all-pro designation. There's the, and it is, it's the hybrid, right? It's some 3-4 outside backers, it's some specialists. And for you, you've got to do all of it. You can't take the playoff. How much pride do you take in that fact that while we don't really talk about rushing, defensive rushing stats, you are, if you look at the advanced numbers, one of the best run stuffers in the league, and you're averaging a sack a game over the last couple of years?
Yeah. When it comes down to it, honestly, you know, in high school, you play offense and defense and special teams. You know, you don't even think about it. In college, they try and make you, you know, a specialist or mold or conform to whatever their idea of your role is going to be. And in the league, they similarly try to do the same thing. I come in my rookie year and it's like, hey, we just want you first and second down. And you look at them like, no, but I'm like, I can do it all. And you have to earn that right. So, you know, second year in, I go for an 8-sack season, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, he can pass rush. Well, duh. Like, I'm here for first, second, and third down. There's nothing in me that says, you know, I want to be available for every down, and I want to be put in the best position to use for my use, not only to better myself, but to put my team in a better position. So what way to do that than be there for every down? And all of those snaps are mine. Ask my coach. All those snaps are mine.
Cam, when you look at the last three seasons, as you've mentioned, they've all ended far more disappointing than you would have wanted to. But for the most part, minus a player or two, Mark Ingram here or there, you guys have rolled it back for the last couple of seasons, knowing that this is your time with your coach and the quarterback that you have. And so you can't help but think when you think of the Saints as Drew Brees and Drew Brees' team, Do you think we see Drew Brees back here next year?
I think we have a window of opportunity.
Such a diplomatic answer.
I feel like as we always have had Drew Brees, there's always been a chance for us to go into the postseason. With Drew Brees at helm, you know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get 20-plus touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That's something that's a winning formula. You know you can, you know, go for 30-plus touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Right. It's,
you know, you always know that there is a chance that at any given time he can explode and create one of the most potent offenses in the game. And you see that week in, week out, until, let's call it this year, where you see Drew go down for what is arguably the first time since he got to New Orleans.
Yep.
And yet the team is, you know, in a perfect form where we're able to overcome a lot of adversity. So I feel like we're in a great window, technically, with the players that we have, with guys that we have on our team, and with Drew at helm. Now, you say, what happens with Drew out there? I'm not there for the what ifs. I'll worry about that when the time comes.
You guys played this team that's representing the NFC in the Super Bowl in the 49ers, and you played them well, put up a lot of points. No other team this year did that. Mm. What did you see? What did you take advantage of? And then second question, Jimmy G was pretty good in that game. What did you see out of him that you could potentially give us some insight of what we might see on Sunday?
So you talk about what they're able to do. I mean, we put up points, but at the end of the day, they put up more points than us. We allowed more points to be scored than necessary. You talk about what George Kittle means to the offense. You talk about what their running back situation is, you know, their committee. They have a lot of talent over there. But they're also, as good as they are on offense, they're even better on defense. And that's what you're going to see. I mean, you know, as a defensive lineman, I'm always looking like, all right, so what's the defensive line looking at? And when you talk about, you know, the Niners, you can't help but gush as a defensive lineman as you see four guys take, you know, a pass, rush from passer, or sometimes even like a fifth option here. You got, you know, we talk about Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, D Ford, and that's just the first rounders that have been there. You draft, you know, young Bosa. So you've got 5 first rounders. That sounds great to me. You've got, you know, Richard Sherman at corner. You talk about the opposite corner who probably has played beyond expectation this year. And then, of course, you talk about their linebacker core. Their defense is stacked, and I love it. And then you talk about, you know, similarly to Kansas City, they've got a great, you know, front. They've got a great front, and now you question, you know, what's the difference between Niners defense and KC's defense, and you probably say secondary, maybe. So when you talk about what's going to happen, I can't help but think about the Niners, but at the same time, it's all about who's going to have a better defensive line. And I can't answer that yet.
Well, let me ask you this, though. We've been very kind to you. I think I do. I'm your new PR guy, so I need an honest question here. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't scare a defense, though. Yet.
Yet.
Correct?
He put up 40-something points on us.
I know.
So I don't know if I have the right to talk about what he does.
How surprising was that, though, when you had watched film?
I mean, everybody was surprised. Everybody was surprised. When you talk about exactly what we wanted to do to limit him, I feel like he had playmakers like George Kittle who showed up big time.
I'm sorry, I'm staring at your mustache. We just had Gardner Minshew on. You guys had a little mustache competition, the Pro Bowl?
No, I don't think so. No, not at all. No,
no,
no. No, he's got like a regular mustache. Like, you saw his, you know, there's nothing special about it. I think Baker Mayfield did like 3 mustaches in a game.
In a game.
In a game.
Correct.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
What is this impressive?
On a loss.
Woo, look at that. Check
you.
There's
you got
nobody in
the
game that can
that
flip
day?
This thing up. Like, this can flip up at any given time.
Oh, well, then do that. Why didn't you do that?
Well, because
you should have gone with that mustache, but this outfit. That outfit.
But see, nobody wants to walk around as like a baron all the time. You know? So it's able to just flip down and look like a regular goatee.
Oh.
Hey, multifaceted.
Yes, it is. That was impressive. It looked like it was hanging off the skin a little bit.
Yeah.
It was unsure.
It's able to flip up when necessary. We turn up when we have to.
So Gardner's still here. You've got a better. His
Does
mustache
he have a mustache
even...
anymore? I just saw him, right? He walked past me and I was like, I thought he was going to go surfing.
What?
I was just like, no doubt. I get it. Live your best life.
Getting nice and warm here. It was a little chilly this morning.
thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thanks for being. Well, now, what were you doing? Were you riding like a scooter?
I was in Costa Rica in my first month and a half of freedom, essentially, and they offered me an ATV ride, and I took it. And in retrospect, it's probably one of the dumber things I've done.
Why?
ATVs are unsafe, man, especially if you have no experience on them. So I got to have my, you know, hour and a half of fun on there, and then I went back to tame Kyle, I guess.
I'm sorry, just so I'm clear, ATVs are unsafe, but you play football your whole life, very safe.
Well, you kind of get used to it, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you have to be dumb enough to do it and smart enough to know how.
Which one are we talking about?
Football, okay. And ATVs, I guess. And I don't think I was good enough to know how on ATV.
Gotcha,
so
gotcha.
I know where my boundaries are.
Also, taking the selfie video while driving. Maybe
it was low RPMs.
Yeah. Low RPM. All right, how much, there's a lot to talk to you about, but it's very difficult to disconnect your career from our colleague and your Hall of Fame dad, Howie, your brother, Chris. How much did growing up in that house prepare you for the career you had?
You know, it was always normal to me to have the family members I did, so I knew no other way. And unbeknownst to me, it had prepared me from a very young age for the job that I chose as my primary source of income, which is football. And I don't know if I chose football, but it chose me, and I'm eternally grateful for the opportunity to play such an amazing game and to have a tremendous support system in my dad, my mom, and my brothers. And yeah, I'm just lucky to play football. And now that I'm done, I have no regrets. I'm at peace with it, man. Like, I sleep well at night, and I'm so lucky to have played football. And I think anybody who's played the game can speak to that.
Kyle, I had a conversation with your dad a couple months ago because I was FaceTiming with, I have two little girls, a 4 and a 6-year-old. And I was like, be good, you know, don't hit each other. And I got off and I was just sitting there and he goes, do you have any idea what our household was like? Do you have any idea? It was like animals that I was trying to contain at all times. Just give me a peek into what it was like when you guys were growing up.
Well, the one thing that was always off limits was mom. Like, you don't backtalk mom, because, you know, she runs the whole house.
Sure.
And most of the fights were between me and my brothers, and it was never like we were angry at each other, but it was like we were playing basketball, you fouled me, you didn't let me get the ball back at the top of the key. We got to handle this right now before the next possession. And if we don't, I'm just going to bust you over and over on this court.
And pretty famously, you guys broke a table. You guys, there a living room table or a coffee table.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of
a lot of broken furniture.
Stuff, so I wouldn't be able to be specific with the.
You're going to have to tell what year and what model of the table.
It's we were lucky. My parents were smart enough to get dense furniture, and they had the foresight to be like, we don't want nice stuff that breaks easily. And so a lot of it was just thick wood. And yeah, they were smart. They were smarter than I thought growing up. And now in retrospect, it's great. They did things the right way.
You've had the luxury of playing 7 years with one organization. You make this decision to shut it down. What goes into that process? A lot of people don't understand players, if you will, as dads, brothers, siblings, friends, because they don't get to see that aspect of us off the field. But you care a lot about that. You're talking about your family. What played into your decision to say, you know what, I'm good, I'm done, I had my time, I get to walk away now?
I think it started in 2015. I blew out my ankle in Tampa Bay. I had been to 3 straight Pro Bowls, and I knew that when you have a significant injury like that, you're never going to be the same. And I had did things in my, I had done things in my first 3 years that I could look back on and say, not many guys could do that. And I was at peace with that. And, you know, I'm still going to show up and give 110 and be loyal to the Bears. And I did that for the last 4 years, but I was on IR the last 4 years. The Bears did right by me by not releasing me. I was there through 3 coaching regimes, 4 O-line coaches, 4 offensive coordinators. I blocked for 12 quarterbacks. They don't forget that. While I forget that because you have to have amnesia in sport, they don't forget that. And they did right by me, and that's why I'll never wear another color other than navy and orange, because I'm a Bear for life. They did me right, and I would like to end it amicably and be involved with the Bears somehow, whether it's with the media or player development. There's a lot to be done in the league, and you don't have to be wearing a helmet to help.
Wow, that
That's one hell of an answer.
Yeah, it is.
That you mentioned you blocked for 12 quarterbacks, the most recent.
That's a rough estimate.
Yeah, right, thereabouts.
Maybe
a dozen
30.
Or so. Yeah, something like that. All right, it's difficult to have a conversation about the Bears without talking about the quarterback,
yep.
without talking about Mitch. And Mitch, it's not his fault. Mitch is tied to Patrick Mahomes. It's a little revisionist history because people didn't see this coming. Also tied to Deshaun Watson. People maybe did see that coming, mm-hmm. given what he did in college. Is Mitch good enough to get the Bears where they're trying to go?
You know what? I was asked this question last week. Can the Bears win with Mitch Trubisky? And I said, yes, they have done that before. But that's, at the end of the day, complimentary football. No one player can win the game for a team. It starts up front on both sides of the ball. And I'll be the first person to say I didn't protect Mitch. I didn't block for the running game. And there's four other guys who would say the same thing, that they did not do as well as they would like. And that's the only unit I can speak to, is the offensive line room. The defense, we didn't help them out. We didn't keep them off the field, keep them fresh. You got to sustain drives in this league. As you see, the teams that are in the Super Bowl are the teams that do really well on offense and have a great front seven on both sides of the ball. Keep your defense fresh, run the ball well, and it gives your defense an opportunity to rest up. And then it gives your opportunity to the quarterback to have great success.
What type of guy is he?
He's a dude. I mean, he would be the guy when I'm done here at, you know, whatever time I'm done this afternoon, I'd give him a call and say, let's go get food. We'd love to see you. He's a good guy. He's somebody I'll keep in contact with. And I wish nothing but the best for him. And I hope they bring in the right guys to block for him.
Please go into TV after this. You're really quite good at answering questions.
Thank you.
Let's just talk about Patrick Mahomes. You've had a moment, a brief one, but a moment to step back from football and ride ATVs in Costa Rica, I think. When looking back at this season and the last season, is Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback in the league right now when you watch him play?
Well, as I alluded to in my last answer, I'm an offensive lineman, so I know my limits in terms of evaluation. Is he one of the most fun people to watch in the NFL? Without a doubt. Is he one of the most talented? Absolutely. But again, I don't know enough about the quarterback position to really talk about what he sees in coverages, but obviously the guy wins and it's a bottom line business. So Patrick Mahomes, he might be the best quarterback in the league.
Well, then let's talk about something you do know about, the movie Broken Arrow.
Tremendous.
What is it? Why?
Got robbed in awards, by the
way. Okay, so tell me why. I mean, listen, if people don't know the plot lines, it's a broken arrow.
Well, Hollywood is, you got to be in there forever.
Which means there's a nuclear bomb that's been, yeah, go. So it's
Broken Arrow is essentially, because I've had to explain this to my buddies.
Yeah.
It's when a nuclear weapon goes missing.
Yeah. AWOL, if
that they were, you know, transferring or whatever, which I guess happens all the time.
Yep.
And I guess my dad went from a good guy with the U.S. military to John Travolta convinced him otherwise, and mm-hmm. he was now Travolta's henchman. And this was the early 90s. I remember being on set there.
I mean, look at, oh, you were on set?
Yeah, as a kid, we were like hiding behind rocks with the earplugs in, and they're shooting blanks and stuff. It was a really cool experience, you know. My dad is a superhero to me. Like, not just a football player. This dude has been on anything I can remember he's been a part of, and he's so humble, and it's so cool to be able to call him dad. I mean, he's a superhero, man. Like,
look, your dad obviously passed along so much. The football good looks, if I may. There's one thing that there's, what is there no, what's
I guess,
the, is that your choice?
I guess.
I'm trying to be nice.
From
about
a genetic standpoint.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
I would
that.
Say that God only made a few perfect heads, and the rest he gave hair to.
Oh, you're waiting for it.
That's so, well
I like
done.
It.
Oh, I get that question a lot because people are like, "Your dad's got this great head of hair." Well, honestly, my mother's brother Virgilio passed away not too long ago, but he had the cul-de-sac like I rock. And so it's my testament, you know, and my shout out to Uncle Jiggy.
I like it.
So getting. Putting the focus back on this week, this game, the team representing the NFC, 49ers, they have a tremendous pass rush. You blocked as an offensive lineman for a long time in this league. How challenging is it to know you have five guys essentially that you have to fight with? I mean, you did this all the time. But elite guys that you got to go up against. And
they really want to fight you, these guys in San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly. They
what
do.
What does that mean?
They're not there to play the game. I mean, every coach has told us preseason's going to be one speed, regular season's going to be another speed, and it's going to ratchet up. and you'll think that's all you have, and then you'll get to the playoffs and you'll find a new breed of competitor. And I never got to go past a wild card week, but I can imagine, and I saw it crank up, that it would ratchet up again and again. And I think the 49ers are built for that up front. And as an offensive lineman, when you go play a team like the Texans or the Steelers, you're worried about TJ or JJ. But when you go play a team like San Francisco, there may be guys on that roster, on that depth chart, you don't even know their name, and they're coming out there and they're going to try to take your soul. And those are the defenses you don't want to play against. And if you're a competitor, you do want to play against them.
You win against one every day in practice.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just everyone.
And I was worried about one guy, Akeem Hicks. I couldn't see past him, but yes. And when you're in film after practice, you get to witness everybody's problem from that play. I may have had a problem on that play, but I'm not the only guy because they're studs across the ball. They get paid too. Mm-hmm. That's another line offensive line coaches say.
So listen, I know you stay within yourself, your offensive lineman, but you also said you might go into media, so I want to make you do something. Make a pick. Who you got?
I'm going to pick the 49ers. It's, for me, the front seven wins games. Obviously, the quarterback position's huge, and people are forgetting that Jimmy G is the quarterback in San Francisco. I think it'll be fun to watch first-rounders rotate in and out from the defensive line. I think San Francisco built up front on both bookends for pass protection. I think McGlinchey and Staley are two of the best in the league, and McGlinchey doesn't get enough love. But I think that San Francisco's built for the long haul.
Good stuff. All right, Kyle, you're here with Gillette and Walgreens. Tell us a little bit about how you're partnering with them.
Yeah, well, Gillette and Walgreens have decided to work with me, and it's been great because the theme has been taking care of myself and, you know, rejuvenating and finding out who I am off the field. I don't wear a helmet, so I have to have my beard clean and my head shaved the right way, and Walgreens and Gillette makes that possible. Skincare is a big thing. And, you know, this February, they do buy one, get one 50% off for select shave care products at Walgreens. So make sure you go to walgreens.com or your local Walgreens. Check that out. You can get a coupon for a $4 razor. And as you know, if you're a bald guy like me, those things,
I feel like you got to ladder up your
nice
head, man.
Don't do it, Nick.
I feel like, no, I'm not going to do it. I feel like you got
Walgreens has been great.
Okay.
Make sure you go on down there and check out the great deals they had through the month.
That was a real punch.
Stuff.
That was
no. That was great. Congratulations on such a great career.
Thank
enjoy
you,
this time
and whatever
away
the next
from
career
football
is, yes. You're going to be great at it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Great at
for
it.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
TurboTax is here to help this tax season by making tax filing easier for you. They've made it their mission to give you all the tools and advice you need to get your taxes done with confidence, like making uploading your W-2 as easy as taking a picture. Just use your phone or tablet to simply snap a picture of your W-2, then watch your information appear in the right place in your tax return. You can be sure you're filing your taxes correctly while at the same time making sure you're getting the best possible refund. TurboTax. All people are tax people.
And Jarvis Landry joining us
What's
this
up,
morning.
How are you doing?
See you again.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you for coming on. I'm going to move forward.
How are you doing, Jarvis? Good to see you.
Bless. My guy.
Do we need to make introductions, Nick? He probably knows everybody.
Well, we're good.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Come hang out, spend a little time with us. But we're going to get to all things Browns and football. But first, I want to start with why you're here, the MSC's Cruise Super Coral Play Campaign. Tell us a little bit about that.
Just something that we partner with to help raise awareness about Super Coral and, you know, what it means and what it means to our kids' future, to us, to the environment.
So for you, you're here, you got a lot going on. You guys just finished the season. I know it was not team-wise level success you expected. Well, if you had to drill it down to one thing, where and why do you think it went the way it did?
You know, just communication. You know, I think a lot of it was just communication, being on the same page, you know, whether it's from the standpoint of, you know, quarterback to receiver or our coach to players. You know, we just didn't have a great sense of communication.
It's
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to be honest. Your microphone pack fell off, so I'm just going to stick it behind you there, not to be awkward at all. I want to make sure I can still hear you. I can see that cutting out.
Jarvis, I wanted to ask you, you know, everything is new for you right now, but Coach Kevin Stefanski coming in. Have you had a chance to talk with him and see, you know, what this new offense is going to look like and what your role is going to be?
Yeah, I've talked to him briefly, you know, and a lot of our talks has just kind of been from the standpoint of let's just get ready to work, you know, get guys back healthy and get ready to work. No really plan about, you know, who's going to be calling the plays or what the system is going to totally look like.
Right.
But, you know, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Delvin Cook, you know, they found a way to survive and coexist.
Right.
So, you know, I'm excited to see what we can do.
I know Odell just got out of surgery. Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, I have.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's recovering. He's healthy, so he's getting healthy. So,
how much, just real quick, you mentioned the getting healthy. And at the end of the year, we have the ability to look at how many games were lost due to injury. Like, is this starting player missed 8 games? What we don't always have the ability to do is how many guys were playing injured throughout the year? How many guys got banged or got nicked up? That you, football players, so you don't talk about it.
Right.
And I do wonder for you guys how frustrating or how tough that is to know, well, we might be out there, but we're not 100%, but we're evaluated as if we are.
Yeah. It's very tough, you know, and in the league, you know, it's 100% rate, you know, at some point throughout the season, you're going to get hurt. And the tough part, you know, for myself, for Odell and a lot of guys around the league, you know, when you go into the season hurt, you don't have that same confidence. You don't have the same, you know, ability, even though it looks like it, even though you can show a flash here and there, it's the consistent basis of trying to do that. And that was tough for myself, for him, and, you know, for other guys around the league, but we found a way to push through it.
I want to focus on something else because a lot of people, I've been in the locker room with you your second year in the league. I know the passion you play this game with, and I know how much you just want to compete and win. Talk about that. How misunderstood are receivers like yourself, like your brother, OBJ, when all it is I just want to win? When you're showing that passion, that drive, that enthusiasm, all that work, people don't see all of that. They see kind of what we consider to be, or we classify as antics. Talk to that.
I mean, it's really that, you know, I've just always grown up to be the type of competitor that I felt like if the ball was in my hands or I had an opportunity to make a play, the chances of us winning increases, you know, and when you got guys around you that feel the same way, you know, you tend to see that a lot. And, you know, no offense, but, you know, everyone on the other side kind of sees it as being a prima donna or sees it as being selfish or, you know, not a team player. But in essence, it's all really about winning. You know, there's drives in games where, you know, 3 or 4 possessions go by and the ball hasn't touched one of our hands. You know, at that point it's, you know, okay, how do we get involved? How do we talk to coach? How do we communicate that, you know, we can help?
Do you think Baker Mayfield took some unfair criticism this season? A lot of people towards the end of your season were pointing fingers. This is why, whether it was the coaching or a lot of it was on the quarterback. Did he take some unfair criticism?
Yeah, I'm sure. But I'm sure he'll be the first to tell you, too. You know, he didn't really play his best this year. You know, obviously coming into his second year and still really learning the new system, but trying to make the transition from last year, you know, and we had to do a better job as receivers, you know, making plays out there. I know I was in a lot of situations this year where I could have made a play or knocked the ball down and stopped it from getting intercepted. And I didn't. So, you know, it's things that we could have done on our end to help out.
But why do you think for Baker it went the way it did? Because he was so sensational his rookie season. You guys add Odell. What do you think was the biggest reason that instead of taking a leap in year two, he regressed a bit, now has to look to that leap in year three?
Again, you know, I say the first thing I said, you know, it comes down to communication. You know,
what does that mean?
Just from the standpoint of, you know, installing the offense, making sure that the details are there. You know, as these two guys kind of tell you, being a quarterback and a receiver, you know, you have to be on the same page, even if it's body language, even if it's eye contact. Those little things are very important.
What are the things that you're going to work on personally this offseason to make yourself better and to assure that Baker has a better chance at, you know, being productive within the offense with you, OBJ, and the rest of the receivers?
First starts with getting healthy. It starts with getting healthy, and from there, spending as much time with each other as possible. You know, learning a new system, learning what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish. I think that's the biggest thing, trying to figure out our identity.
Spending time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who's the best LSU wide receiver duo ever?
Man, I tell you what, those boys had a hell of a year, man.
They Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase were pretty damn special.
They were special. You cannot take any, and he took the national championship home with him. So.
Yeah, they did.
All right, but let me follow up. If you and Odell, with no disrespect to your guys' quarterback, if you guys had the number one pick of the draft, Joe Burrow, and an offense where you're going to throw the ball 60 touchdowns, what would you guys have looked like?
We would look damn good. We would look damn good. But you know, in our system at that time, you know, we had 5 or 6 running backs. You know, we wasn't really built on throwing the ball. We just some kind of way found two receivers. Yeah.
I will say this really quick. People become enamored with Odell Beckham and all the catches that he made. We don't understand, and most people haven't had the opportunity to really see you work. Because you were down here for a majority of your season with your career with Miami, losing season, not really every on TV and televised. Your ability to catch the ball, I will say this in front of everyone.
As a receiver,
is one of the best I've ever seen. Like, look at his hands.
I've never seen it. I'm paying attention.
Look at his hands. People don't understand. This man practices catching the ball one-handed. Just ridiculous stuff, some of the things that happens in practice. Man, keep working, keep grinding. I've always loved the way you went about business and keep that passion. I've told you that. You stood in front of the team one time and said, this is all you got, and you see it every time you're on that football field. I love it.
Yes, sir. Yes,
keep
sir.
It.
Best of the best.
For you, go ahead, Jenna.
Is it hard as a player down here when you're friends, or you probably know a lot of the guys that are playing on both teams, to have a rooting interest or in one or the other if you never played for them?
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. You know, I mean, Tyrann Mathieu is one of the guys that, you know, I love to death. You know, a lot of my style, a lot of the attitude about the game and the competitiveness has come from him, just watching him play and competing against him at LSU. And then you go to the other side, you know, got guys like Sherman, Godwin, you know, those guys that, you know, I grew up watching and seeing, you know, Sherman lock guys down, and now I'm across from Sherman, running routes against Sherman, and, you know, it's going to be a hell of a game.
So that being said, do you have a pick for us?
I really like San Francisco's defense. I want my...
It's so hard.
It's a tricky question. We got 10 seconds. Give us a pick. Come on.
No pressure.
Man.
Here we go.
I don't know, my LSU boy, man, the Honey Badger. I got to see him.
My guy. Good luck this year, Jarvis.
Thank you,
Jarvis Landry. Thank you so much.
See you guys.
That's it for us, everyone. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.